Well, if you were here last Sunday, you remember that I said I wanted to talk on five things that Paul said he did not want his people to be ignorant of. And we got through the first one and maybe halfway through the second one. And I saw that it was very much time to quit. And Romans 11 is where the second one is. In verse 25. And I brought a little object lesson along today. And you know, this isn't an olive plant. And you know, it's a peach. And we could talk a lot about vine and bearing fruit and all that. Anybody know what this is? Just a wild plum. You're too far away from it. So anyway, we'll look at that a little later. I want to just start out again about where we were so you can remember. And maybe the children never thought about it. Remember about Abraham. He was a friend of God. He had a son. He was named Isaac. He had a son that was named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. What do we call the people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What children do you remember? Usually in our Sunday school, it always will call them children of Israel. You didn't get a passing grade on that test. Okay, and I'm just going to put COI for short. Children of Israel. You see, Jacob's name was changed to Israel late in life. And so everybody that is born from this lineage is called children of Israel. And of course, you know, God promised a redeemer. And he said it would be through the tribe of Judah. Each one of these sons was the head of the tribe. And there's one of his sons was Judah. And he said the Messiah was going to come through the tribe of Judah. And also he said it would be of the lineage of who? Who is an important king? David. The lineage of David. And interesting, our Sunday school lesson, that connection. And also Rahab. And we know that we can go to Matthew and the Messiah, Jesus, was of this lineage. What are the people, even, maybe I should have just draw a line like this. Even today, what are these people called? In modern, right today, if you talk about the people that live over in that little piece of real estate in the Mideast, what are they called? Jews. They're the Jewish people. Now, what about Abraham had another son? Remember what his name was? Hagar? Ishmael. Thank you. I'm full of humanity this morning. Y'all don't go to sleep. I need you to keep me straight. Ishmael. Jacob had another, Isaac had another son. Remember, he had one Jacob. What was the other son's name? Esau. And what are the descendants of all these people? I know it's not just a direct line, but everybody else that isn't in this line, what are they called? What are we called? Gentiles. Now, that's the two basic categories today. You have the Jews. Ones that are born from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the Jewish people. That's still how they're Jews today. You and I will never be. If you fill out your paperwork and you want to move over to that little piece of real estate in the Mideast called Israel, you and I will never make it because we don't have it in our lineage. The cost would be prohibitive. I think it's possible, but not with the benefits of the people that have the lineage there. We're down here, everybody else, Jew and Gentile. Okay. I want you to understand that and remember that, children. That's the two basic. That's how people can be called Jews if they're from this background. Otherwise, you're right in here with us. Gentiles. Okay. Our text. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. My humanity kicked in one more time. I was going to tell you another little story before I got started. And so I'm going to just put a little parenthesis in here because it blessed me. Brother Darrell told of a birthday and an anniversary this week. No, two anniversaries, wasn't it? One anniversary and one birthday, sorry. I want to tell you about another birthday. April the 6th of 1980, there was a new birthday. And I asked Sister Gladine if it was okay to tell the story, and she said, surely it's okay. She was just so thankful to be saved. Well, this will be 39 years. On Saturday, it'll be 39 years. And on April the 6th, it was a Resurrection Sunday morning. And we gathered to worship. I think we were still in the basement. Yes, ma'am. We were still in the basement. We got to church, and Sister Lois Meyer thought about it. She forgot to pick up Gladine. So she goes back over to Gladine's house and picks her up and brings her, comes back to church. And I think, if I remember, Gladine, you told me that Brother Paul Ebersole was here. Yes. And that was the day that Sister Gladine gave her heart to the Lord, April the 6th, 1980. And that just really blessed my heart, and I wanted to share that. Now, we'll get back to the Jews and the Gentiles. I'm glad the whole point of this whole story here is to help us understand salvation is open for the Jews and for the Gentiles. And that's, I think we have all Gentiles here this morning. How glad we are. Well, I hope we can learn a few lessons from it. And I'm going to try to not let the clock get away from me. And I hardly know where to get started back in. I think we will go to Romans 11, the chapter there. Our verse was on 25 about where Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I thought that if Paul had some things that he didn't want us ignorant on, we should look at them and try to find out what he wants us to have knowledge of. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge, lack of awareness, and so lack of education. So if we are not ignorant, we need to be aware. We need to understand what is he trying to say. And he said here was a mystery. I don't want you to be ignorant of a mystery. And you remember, if you not ignorant of a mystery, then it's no longer a mystery. I like that. And because if you're ignorant of the mystery, he's afraid you'd be wise in your own conceits. Okay, now I want to go back and start reading at verse 11. And I don't know how it's all going to come out. And stop me if I show another evidence of humanity. I was reading it this morning, got so inspired, I don't have things written in my notes to near about all of what I was thinking this morning, so I'm going to just preach from my heart as I read. 11:11, Romans 11:11, and you know, I'm not saying if you want to follow along, I'd say if you have your Bible and you're able to read, follow along. Verse 11, I say then, and I want, somehow I was wanting to illustrate this to understand the pronouns. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Have the Jews stumbled that they should fall? You see what happened? You know what happened? Here was the Messiah born. These were Jewish people. They rejected the Messiah. Have the Jews stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Rather, through the Jews' fall, salvation is come down here to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Now, if the fall of the Jews be the richness of the world and the diminishing of the Jews the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So we read that scripture last week, talked where Jesus said how that Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot
until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. If I tell you I'm going to preach until lunchtime, you think, well, at least you'll quit sometime. Until, but you're not sure when, but there's a time coming. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy, emulation, them which are of my flesh. Who was Paul? Was Paul Jew or Gentile? Jew. And might save some of them, the Jews. For if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, in other words, the Jews rejected Jesus and the world was brought, opened up to the Gentiles, what shall be the receiving of them, the Jews, but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. In other words, if this peach tree had a branch I had here, there's little peaches on it. And if this little peach right here had been left on the tree, grew to be a perfect peach, then that means it was perfect when it was just like that. It's a perfect little, there is nothing wrong with that little teeny peach on there. And I think that's what he's saying there. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. If you have a loaf of bread that turned out pretty, you know, when you had it kneaded and rolled up and made it and shaped it, it was perfect. It just wasn't complete. But it was perfect as a lump. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, now, here's what I want to illustrate. I hope we don't have any catastrophes up here with this. Now, let's just say the illustration that Paul is giving is when the Jewish people turned away from the Messiah, they rejected. Jesus came to his own and his own didn't receive him. And they were cut off. Let's keep reading. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, this old plum, were grafted in. I'll just put it right there. I don't have a way of fastening it there, but I'll hold it for a little bit. Thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. Now, he's talking to us Gentiles. Boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root, you. And that is so important for us to remember. And I think it's one of the whole things that Paul's wanting us to remember here, that we were out here in the wild, and we've been grafted in, contrary to nature, partakers of the vine. And we do, Jesus, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And remember that this wild plum tree limb does not hold the vine. The vine holds us. And that's what we need to remember. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off. Remember here, the Jew that are cut off, the Jews were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief. This was cut off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Don't be high-minded. Don't think you're something special. But fear, be humble, don't be proud, be humble. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not us, Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, and otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also if they abide not still in unbelief, the Jews, if they abide not in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able. See, I can't hook that back up. I can put it up there and hold it there for a little bit. But God is able to graft them in again. You know, I just stop here and say, this passage of Scripture is hard. Well, it's just pretty much impossible to go anywhere and preach Romans 11 and think that everybody in the audience is going to see it exactly the way I do. And that's okay. But I'm pretty happy that all I'm doing so far is just reading Scripture. And if I don't understand it right, I'd be very much open to hear your interpretation of it. Let's keep reading. I like that 23. And they also, the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief. What didn't the Jews believe? Right here. What didn't they believe? They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And if they don't stay in that unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, O Gentiles, if the Jews were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to, I did get that wrong again. He's talking to Gentiles here, and grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree? Are you following? Are you with me? Is it making sense? Isaiah 60 verse 10 says, in my wrath I smote thee, but in my mercy I had favor on thee. And this is where he goes into 25 in our theme verse. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits or your own proud ideas. That blindness, this partial blindness, has happened to Israel. And I say that because there are Jewish people today that do believe. It's not all the people. It's not everybody that's a descendant of these is still not seeing the Messiah. There are many of these people who have accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And so it's a partial blindness. And it's happened to Israel until, I'm just simply reading Scripture, until the fullness of the Gentiles become. What did Jesus say about Jerusalem? Trodden until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so, now this is one of the most problematic verses. I don't know what to say. I think if we don't understand it. But I think he's saying here, and so in this way all Israel shall be saved. The only way for Israel to be saved, the only way for the Jewish people to be saved is to recognize Jesus as Messiah. Like anybody else, there's no difference. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. His only way, in this way, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. See, Paul went back to the Old Testament. This is a quote from Scripture, from the Old Testament prophet. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Here we go again. From Israel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, at this point, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. These Jewish people are enemies for your sake. It's like we bring out the same point he had earlier in our reading. But as touching the election, as touching the choosing out, what is an election? Have an election for anything, president or a, it's to choose out. Some churches call, instead of ordination, they call it an election, where a minister is chosen. So as far as touching or insofar as this concerns of the choosing out, they,
the Jewish people,
are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as in times past, for as ye in times past have not believed in God, Gentiles, yet have now obtained mercy through the Jews' unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God, you know, one day Jesus is going to take all things back to the Father, that God may be all in all, just like it says there in that last verse. Of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, I should have stopped right there at verse 26 and continued, because I'm not quite finished with 26. And so all Israel, in this manner, accepting Jesus as the Messiah, in this manner shall all Israel be saved. I would just like to read, and you can just listen, you can turn to it. This is a verse in Isaiah 45:17. Says, but Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. Zechariah 12:10 says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Zechariah 13:1 says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now, I believe we would all agree that that has not happened yet. And so where we probably divide is that I think that saying that there's a day coming that these people, and I don't know where, and you can read more in those prophets and a lot of other scriptures. It's the day that Zechariah talks about when the whole world comes to fight against these people. Not hard to imagine, is it? If you keep up with a little history today and how the Gentile people, along with the Jewish people, are going so far from God. And with all the pressure against that little piece of real estate, it's not hard to understand that one day that the whole world could be against them. And that's when God comes and fights for them. And that's when they realize, we crucified the Messiah. Now that's how I understand it. You know, I want to tell you one other little thing yet that happens in the Jewish, I might should save it for communion, but it's here now. When the Jewish people, observing Jews today, observe the Seder, the Jewish Seder, their Passover meal, they have three pieces of bread. They take, and they call this the afikoman. They take out the middle, during the supper, they take out the middle piece of bread, and they take it and hide it. Put it away. And the children, this is exciting for the children, because the children get to go look for this piece of bread. And they, you know what, you know how you like play hide and seek, and you hide something and you go find it, and you look under the bed, you look behind the door, you look everywhere. And finally somebody, I found it! And they bring this middle piece of bread back, and they break it, and everybody eats it. That's an important part in the Jewish Seder. And this afikoman is the only Greek word in the meal. It came in after the time of Christ. It's not something brought out from Old Testament tradition. Do you see the typology there? It's taken out from the Father and the Spirit and hid away, brought back, all is broken and eaten. And do you know what the word means? Aphakomen just literally means he came. He came. And for 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been celebrating he came. And they don't know why. They don't even understand why it's in there. I preached that and a lot more over at Darbin years, a couple of years back. I didn't know until afterwards there was a Jewish man listening. He wouldn't come into the sanctuary with us, but he stayed back in the kitchen and listened over the loudspeaker. And I was nervous until he said, everything you said was right. So I was glad that my, no credit to me, but the information I read was right. I didn't dream all this stuff up, but I read it. For 2,000 years, they've been saying he came. How sad. And according to these scriptures is why I believe that one day they're going to realize, and that's when they'll mourn, like we just read about from Zechariah, and they'll realize the Messiah. Back to our text, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Be aware, have biblical knowledge. Message to us is that the gospel is for all. And what we read here is that one day the descendants of Abraham will realize what they have been blinded to for 2,000 years. And he's telling us, don't be high-minded. Don't think you're something. You know, I've just really been impressed about this vine and typology that we're talking about in John 15. This, we're talking about Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we, poor old Gentiles, have been grafted in. And he's just telling us over and over about don't be proud of it. Don't think you're something. And I think he's telling us today, you remember that the vine bears you. You don't bear the vine. And that's why I'm burdened in our, even in our church life, that we keep Jesus first. Everything we do needs to be with Jesus in mind. We need to be teaching and preaching Jesus. We need to be teaching and preaching the Word of God. What we do is because of God's Word. It's not just to preserve some culture from 100 years back or 30 years back. And I like to think that the culture that I've been handed is taking this Word of God and making practical applications to today. And always in mind that Jesus is Lord of the church, and we're not here to preserve our organization. And whenever we promote our organization, it's like I've told you before, a roof completely sealed over, and we start building up ourselves and lifting up ourselves. We need to remember Jesus is up. This is people that have come to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins, been adopted into the family, want to live the Word and be followers of the Lord Jesus, who have the inside of the cup cleaned out, so the outside can be clean. And we're just a band of people that have all been that, and we're working together for the honor and glory of God, for uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we lift up anything else, even if we lift up our organization and the church, and we say the church, the church, the church, and forget that Jesus is the head of the church, it will crash. It has to crash because it's the wrong foundation. Jesus is the foundation. And Paul's saying in this, and I think this is where the practical lesson that we can get from it, don't be proud in your own conceits. Now, there's another thing, and I'm sure this message will probably go out on the web, and I'm sure there will be people that don't agree with everything, but that's okay. But there's something else I think we should not be ignorant of. All this that we've read, is there anything here that implies that God's promise to Abraham is canceled and void? Last Sunday I told you about that everlasting covenant I told you about the covenant in Genesis 17, where Abraham, where God, Abraham, I think Abraham cut the meat, laid it out on both sides. And when that torch came, which was the presence of God, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And I was told that one commentator says he was scared to death. It scared him so bad, I don't know. But he was there as an observer until he passed out or whatever happened to him. And God said, I'm making an everlasting covenant with you. It's an unconditional covenant that God told him, I'm going to do several things. And so does this in any way imply that the descendants of Abraham have no part in end time events? I want to ask you a question. Did God cast away Abraham's descendants? That's what I want you to consider. Be as the Bereans and go home and search the scriptures. And I want you to keep in mind everything that I've tried to teach you to this point. And now I want to look at some scriptures. And please turn with me to Psalm 89. You know, when Jesus walked with the men to Emmaus, did he just come up with a lot of stuff from his own personal knowledge? Well, he probably did, and I wished I could have heard him. But he also went back to the law of Moses, to the books of Moses. He went to the Psalms. He went to the prophets. And through them, he showed them how that the Messiah must suffer. So I want to go back to some verses in the Old Testament. Psalm 89, verse 34. A couple of verses here. 89, 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. It just says stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. That's what Selah means. Now turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 8. I want to read several verses here. But thou, Israel, who is, you remember what we talked about? Who is Israel? Descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now turn to Jeremiah 16. Verse 14. I think I'm going to read 14 through 19. Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16, 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of the affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Now I want to ask you, and I'm going to say from 20 years and under, when did verse 15, when was it fulfilled? When did Israel come back as a nation? 1948, May the 19th, 1948, they came back. Do you notice that? It says, I will send for many fishers. Do you know the children of Israel? It's such a unique story because they were scattered after the crucifixion, after the destruction of Jerusalem. It was a while that it was even against the law for a Jew to be in Jerusalem. They were scattered, they were driven, they were exiled across the whole world. They were under the rule of the Seljuks, and it was a whole host and others, big names too hard to say. And then there was the Crusaders, and then the Ottoman Turks were in control of the land for 400 years until 1917 when Britain gained control of the land. Britain was supposed to give land for the Jewish people to be a nation, and they failed to do that in 1922. It was after, I want you to notice one verse that we read. First I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. Hitler's time and on up through World War II, Hitler killed like 6 million of them. I don't even know if anybody knows how many across Europe, but they had the pogroms. And if you were a Jewish person, you'd had it. Everyone they could find, and they were driven. They paid, I think, double for their sins. And if it wouldn't have been for the hardships that they received, they were trying to go back to their homeland. They wanted a place they could go back. And I want to just ask you, they had been without a homeland when they went into Babylon captivity in about 500 BC. It was the last that they actually ruled their own country. When they were there in the time of Christ, they were under Roman authority. So we have 2,500 years, basically, that there was the land there, but they weren't in control. They weren't the government of it. Then they were exiled for about 2,000, scattered across the face of the earth, and still an identifiable people. How did that happen? I don't think there's any other way except divine intervention. There was no other people. There are no other people in the world that anything close to that. And they would come home, had been gone for, and say they're home. And the only way that they were given that little piece of property was because of the severe hardship. After World War II, it started leaking out to the world how bad they had been treated and how many were killed. And they were on ships going on the Mediterranean. And Britain was in control. And they knew that if they let too many in, they would be in trouble with Turkey. And so they put them off on an isle. I forget which little island it was there. And it was just the dumping station for them. They would allow 15,000 a year to come in, which was nothing. And finally, it was one ship was on the way. It was turned around. And they said, we won't go back. We'll stay here. We'll starve here. And that's when it got worldwide attention. And finally, there was a mandate to give them a land. And it happened. Of course, the seven Arab nations around said, we'll drive you into the sea in a week. We know it didn't happen. I had a couple more scriptures yet I wanted to read. And I didn't know where I was going to give that little backdrop, but it's there. Jeremiah 31. And I'm getting close to done. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel, who are we talking about? Jewish people. If those ordinances depart, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So if you get the sun shut down, you change the course of the stars and disrupt that, then you can figure on it that the rest of it will happen. Thus saith the Lord, If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. I'll stop reading there. Also, chapter 33, 2 verses 20 and 21. Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, saying the same thing, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. We read last time about the throne of David and his rule, which we always refer back to Jesus. He'll be on the throne, and there will be no end to that kingdom. That's the part of the kingdom that we're a part of. That's the kingdom we're a part of. Also, verse 25 and 26, same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. And if he says, I will, it's going to happen. Well, one other little thing I want to mention here yet. I told you a little about the replacement theology where the Jews were cursed, driven afar. Christianity became the state religion. Catholicism was blooming. And all the blessings were taken onto the church and the curses kept with the children of Israel. And so today there are people that believe that when Paul refers to Israel, he's talking about the church rather than the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I would like to turn back to the book of Romans and just read a few verses, and you decide. Chapter 9, probably too many verses. Chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and so forth and so on. Chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, my own people, literally is what he's saying, is that they might be saved. And verse 21 in chapter 10, but to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. I'm also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. I think it's obvious all through this chapter, the they and the them, and I think we can understand. I think that when Paul is referring to Israel, he's talking about the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, what's our takeaway this morning? I hope there's a couple of things that we can take away that will, you know, because I know sometimes people say, well, what about end time events? And what I'm more interested in living today. I do believe that the way our anticipation of the return of the Lord and being forever with him is going to affect the way we live. I really believe that. And I believe that if we're interested and if we're anxiously awaiting his return, we do want to know a little about it. I believe we should have an interest. I don't think it's possible that we're going to see everything the same. And I don't even think we have to see everything the same. And when we get on the other side and we're there with Jesus and we're worshiping and praising him, you know what? I'm pretty sure somebody will come slap me on the back and say, Brother Sim, you didn't see it right, did you? I said, no, I sure didn't. But I tried. Maybe you'll get a slap on the back too. But I want to tell you, just accept God's word. That's what I want to tell you. That's what I want to leave with you this morning. You take God's word and you live it. You believe it. Trust God when he says, I will, it's going to happen. Just accept God's word for your life. And one of the things that he didn't want us to be ignorant on, he wanted us to know about this mystery and about us being grafted in, the natural was cut off, and we, the wild, were brought in. And don't be high-minded. Don't be proud. Don't think you're something, you know, you got something above everybody else. It's so human for us to think that we're the center of the universe and even hold on to a lot of good things like the Pharisees did. We might even glory in our conservatism and think that, you know, we just got a special spot with God. And I'm not knocking application to God's Word. I think it's very important, vital, and the only way to live is take this and apply it to your life. But if you start trusting into how you've applied it, you're on the wrong base and it'll crash. It has to crash. It's the wrong thing. Don't forget that we're just a tooth in the gear. This is something that you men can understand. You know, you have a cog and it has a lot of teeth on the around the gear. We're just a little tooth on the gear. We're not the gear. We need to remember that. That's the message for us this morning. I see our time is here to close. Any of you brethren have anything you want to say now about the message? If you have something happen to you during the week, just save that. If you have anything to correct me on or add, you're welcome to it. But we're going to close.